Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Meantime, if you look up to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, we're going to start off at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And I shall open now the Word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we look together, Lord, about your word sake, as our complete in Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would lead the event, Spirit, in all said and void now in this message. Lord, help us, dear God, to walk daily, dear God, with all the more hearts, after the completeness that is ours, and in through Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus, I pray these things with your thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth for weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing.
Hey, if you open up your King James Bible to Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, reading down through verse 12. Word of God declares,
yes,
speaking of our completeness in Jesus Christ, as born again believers, as Christians who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Him also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and bring off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, where also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead.
Amen.
Turn over to Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I would also read Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 while you're turning to 1 Corinthians 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ.
Come on!
I bring all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, reading down through verse 13. The Word of God declares that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith of the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, that all these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will.
Yes, amen.
Verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or all made to drink into one spirit. Tonight we are considering our completeness in Jesus Christ. And I myself, having once been seduced by the charismatic doctrine of the second blessing, as it is called, having vomited it out, never taken it back in by the grace of God, I consider how the doctrine of the second blessing as taught by the charismatics denies our completeness in Jesus Christ as believers. The Word of God declares, again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So again, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in March of 1995, on that day that I received him, I received the fullness, all the Father, the fullness, all the Son, the fullness, all of the Holy Ghost, all the Spirit. And I, ever since, have been complete in him.
Yeah.
Now, this damnable heresy of the second blessing is nothing more than an attempt to basically repeat the baptism of the Spirit, much like the Roman Catholic Mass is nothing but a vain attempt to repeat the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Christ.
Oh, come on now.
Well, consider the doctrine of the second blessing as taught by the charismatics, which implies that you do not receive all the Holy Spirit when you first get born again. I smell something fishy. I smell something very Roman Catholic going on. The Word of God declares here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there's one baptism. Just one.
Yeah.
That part once into the body of Christ. Or, as it's written in Colossians chapter 2, you're buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead.
That's it.
The question that I have for any charismatic at this point is, if you don't receive all of the Holy Spirit when you first get born again, does it not take all of the Holy Spirit tie you into the body of Christ? So what are you going to try to... Are you not implying that according to your second blessing doctrine, ultimately take it to its logical conclusion that there must be a partial baptism of the Spirit into the body of Christ? You evidently, you were only partially baptized into the body of Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but I was completely baptized into the body of Christ. I was not partially baptized into the body of Christ when I got born again that day in March 1995.
Come on!
Well, you're completely baptized into the body of Christ if you truly got born again. Word of God declares that you were buried with him in baptism. Well, let me ask you, if you're listening and you're charismatic, were you partially buried with him in baptism? Where you are also your risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Were you partially raised with him? Because ultimately, if you didn't receive all the Holy Spirit, doesn't that take all the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
In order for you to be buried with him in baptism? In order for you to be risen with him, Christ, through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead?
Well, come on now.
Declare that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Again, continue to look at our completeness in Jesus Christ and how the light of the ministry of the Spirit, we are complete in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom, speaking of Christ, ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Who also, after that you believe, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Well,
okay, charismatic, you did not receive all of the Holy Spirit when you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. take all the Holy Spirit to seal you in the context of this Word of God speaks?
Come on. Declares
in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
Come on.
Read it. The Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption.
Come on.
Does any wonder you Jeremiah don't believe in eternal security? Yeah, but I got born again in March 1995. I received all the Holy Spirit, not part of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Holy seal under the day of redemption, not partially sealed.
Now, come on.
You see, ultimately charismatic, you believe you were just partially sealed.
Well.
That would be the case if indeed that teaching, that heretical teaching of the second blessing, the notion that you don't receive all the Holy Spirit, were true. So if you're not totally sealed, I guess it is possible for you to get out, isn't it? Well,
I'm
completely sealed. I was completely sealed to that spirit of promise. By God's grace, I refuse to grieve that Holy Spirit.
Now, come on!
Word of God declares, Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit. Okay, so, you charismatic, you're going to try to say that being filled with the Holy Spirit has everything to do with tongues, right? It's all about tongues, what you call tongues. It's about what God calls tongues. Verse 18, okay, when we're filled with the Spirit, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, here's how. Speak to yourselves in psalms, and hymns, and scriptural songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, persuading, giving thanks all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God.
Well,
no mention of tongues in that context. Or what you call tongues, anyway. No mention. 1 Corinthians 12. Another comment that I'd make here. 1 Corinthians 12. Word of God declares in verse 11, but all these work that one of the self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Now, Paul, it has gotten done that the Spirit of God inspired in commenting on the ministry of the Spirit and distributing of the gifts of the Spirit. And verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracle, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Again, verse 11, but all these work that one of the self-made Spirit divided to every man severally as he will. The Spirit of God distributes, he gives the gifts to man as he will. You don't choose what gifts you get.
Come on.
The Spirit of God chooses the gifts that he gives severally as he will. So don't think you're just going to decide if you want to have tongues, if you want to speak in tongues, and you're just going to go and have some vain sinner lay hands on you, and all of a sudden you're just going to get tough. No. That's all wrong. All wrong, charismatic. Oh, and I know in the case of this one man that I just had to break ties with, he loves to quote that verse about where it says, I believe it's here at the end of chapter 14, around the end of chapter 14, where the Word of God says, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, come and prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues.
Yeah.
Oh, God even says here, the Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God, God through his apostle declares, verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, rather than to prophesy, for greater is he to prophesy than he to speak with tongues, except he interpret, church may receive edifying.
Come on!
Verse 6, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Verse 7, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction, being a sound, how shall we know what is pipe or harp?
Now, come on,
give a certain sound, who shall prepare himself in the battle? Verse 9, so likewise, she says, you utter by the tongue, words to be understood, how shall it be known when it's spoken? We shall speak into the air. Verse 10, there are at least so many kinds of voices in the world, And none of that is without signification. Verse 11, therefore if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me.
Yeah, I'm preaching.
So ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye excel in edifying the church. Verse 13, all. Forbid not to speak tongues. Yeah, the Word of God says that in verse 39. But it also says this in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14, which obviously is charismatic for God. We're certainly willfully ignorant of, which I would say he's willfully ignorant of. And God says in the same chapter, by the way, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 13. Therefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret all. How quickly these charismatics forget that one. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Come on, preach it.
What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with the understanding also. God makes it very clear, that if there's no interpretation, you're going to keep silent. And how many of you charismatics?
Now come on!
In your tongues, when there's no interpretation, you don't keep silent. You don't even submit yourself to the Word of God. Let alone one to another in the fear of God.
Oh, come on now.
For your women preachers. But God says the bishop should be the husband of one wife.
Well.
And you wouldn't qualify for that. And yet again, you charismatics, you're all too well known for wanting to set your Jezebels up on a pedestal.
Oh, come on now.
So, going on here. Word of God declares, again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, speaking of Jesus Christ, in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You cannot, I mean, if you take that truth to heart, take that to heart, dear listener, Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you take that to heart, there's no way you can fall for the teaching, the radical, damnable teaching. But the second blessing is taught by the charismatic. It says you don't get all the Holy Spirit when you get born again. Because again, he's the fullness of God in bodily. Therefore, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the fullness, all the Father, the fullness, all the Son, the fullness, all the Holy Spirit.
Come on now.
You cannot take that trip to heart and get seduced by this damnable doctrine of the charismatics. No. The other reason I got seduced by it, not the enemy didn't have some bishops you on with my infirmity with the healing, because that's the way the charismatics suck. Most of these people went is with their healing. Which is a false balance, by the way. But anyways, the only way that I ever got seduced by those tongues was because I either forgot or else I didn't stop to consider the significance and the reality of what that implies when the Word of God declares that Jesus is the fullness of God in body. By God's grace, I'm not going to forget it no more. By God's grace, I've stopped. Thank God, using one brother down in Texas who brought that up to me. But I've never forgotten it, and by God's grace, I'm never going to forget it. That's the only reason why I can say I have followed the damnable doctrine that cares. I'm not going to say that's it, praise God.
Man!
Well, you were listening. You never swallowed it, may you never swallow it now that you have been reminded of that truth. And if you're listening and you are charismatic, may you come out and touch not the damnable doctrine, touch not the damnable spirit behind that doctrine. Colossians chapter 1. Continuing on, Colossians chapter 1. Who gets the preeminence, the charismatics? Who gets the preeminence?
Come on.
Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is Jesus Christ, and in all things he may have the preeminence. Verse 19, for pleading the Father, that it should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, God. Thank God. Devout charismatic say that he or she is Jesus Christ the preeminence. Do they not exalt to the uttermost their spirit, the one they call the Holy Spirit? I I say the one they call, because he's not the Holy Spirit of the Scriptures.
Well?
By the way, I'll just clarify that by saying that the Apostle Paul under inspiration of God warned of another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's what you got embodied in the charismatic movement. You got another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel.
Well?
And another point I'll make at this point. Your charismatics, you love to tell you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Oh!
And he searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Don't take that verse, this passage here, Romans 8, 26, 27, and try to say that when the Spirit makes intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that's your charismatic tongues.
Oh, get over it!
Does the Spirit of God not intercede for the believer in Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? You better bet he does, just like Jesus Christ himself intercedes 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like this written in Hebrews, wherefore he is able also to see that the uttermost can come unto God by him, seeing he intermitteth to make intercession for them.
Come on!
Yes, what's the point? Here's the point. Romans 8:26 is talking about your charismatic tongues when it says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And if the Spirit is interceding for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are you praying in your charismatic tongue 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Oh, now come on, praise!
Not. I bet not. I know not. Let me say, I know not charismatic. Intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered has got nothing to do with your charismatic tongue.
God, preach that!
And not be uttered.
God,
preach that! Do you not utter something when you pray in your charismatic tongues? Word of God declares, St. John 16, 13, 14.
Come on, preach!
Word of God declares, howbeit when he, Jesus Christ, speaking, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. The Spirit, the true Spirit of God, does not speak of himself, nor seek to glorify himself, but he glorifies the uttermost. Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. And he himself, the Spirit, along with the Father, are only glorified as Jesus Christ is glorified.
Yeah.
St. John 20, verse 21 through 23. This is Jesus to them again. Here in the context, Jesus Christ has already risen from the dead and has already appeared to Mary Magdalene. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, having appeared to his disciples, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22,
yep.
When he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, let's say real quickly, verse 23, when Jesus said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
Yeah.
For the Roman Catholic cult take that and use that as somehow justification for her priest. Have the power to forgive anybody who sins, as only God can forgive. No, that's twisting the scriptures to one's own destruction. That is clearly a reference to the apostolic ministry of the apostles. And I'll give you one prime example without turning there. It's in the book of Acts when Peter pronounced judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. The fear came upon all church all around about. That's what it's talking about right there.
Well?
But Jesus said, in context of verse 22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost did not yet fall in the context that he fell. in the book of Acts, after Jesus Christ ascended, so how can Jesus Christ say, receive you the Holy Ghost in the context of St. John 20, verse 22? Because again, Colossians 2:9, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As Jesus even told his disciples, while he was yet with them in the flesh, as he was with them, the Spirit was with them.
Well,
he said, in that context, you see me, you see the Father. That's why, in Acts 2:39, when Peter, declared, repent, you be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I thought Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Some of the oneness, Jesus only did call themselves crowds. They're all tripped up over that. They said, oh, you must only baptize in the name of Jesus.
Well,
baptize in the name of Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, you're baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost, because he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Well,
so again, Jesus won this crowd. There won this doctrine. The thing is, you got to baptize in the name of Jesus. You can't put the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. They stumble from that truth as well about Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and they get into damnable heresy. So, why you now, this edition of the Word of the King, about just under a minute and a half to go.
Come on!
The fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which it is the second death. Turn from your false spirit, turn from your false Jesus, turn from your false gospel, and come unto Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Be made complete in him through faith in his shed blood alone, for by grace you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Be made a new creature in Christ. Come out. And touch not the unclean animal doctrine of the charismatic anymore.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. The cursed. Everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Until next time, God bless you and yours.